fill us with your presence. Lord, as we were praying today before the service, I was just reminded of how you fill this church, how you fill your people, that your presence just fills us, God. We just love you, Jesus. We love you, God. We just invite your presence here. Invite your presence, God. We just honor you. Thank you so much, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Everybody give the worship team a hand. It's amazing. Thank you, guys. It was awesome. Whew. All right, you guys take a couple minutes, greet each other, hug some necks, kiss some babies. To do. The fullness of God dwells in Jesus, okay? Colossians talks about it. It says it pleased God that the fullness of the deity would rest in his body. You know, the cool thing about Jesus is he modeled to us what is possible as Christians. That's what he did. You know, Jesus Christ is not his last name. Christ is not his last name. It just means the anointed one, the anointing, right? So Jesus, the anointed man. The fullness of God just dwells in him. I feel so bad because I'm making you guys turn to so many verses right now. But whatever, it's church. We're going to go to Colossians 1:15. I'm like trying not to do it. And I'm like, it's not going to work if I don't do it. So we're just going to do it. Colossians 1:15. He is the divine portrait, the true likeness of the invisible God and the firstborn heir. Everybody say firstborn. Yes. Firstborn implies that there's what? More people born, right? Okay. For through the Son, everything was created, both in the heavenly realm and on the earth. All that is seen and all that is unseen. Every seat of power, realm of government, principality, and authority. It was all created through him and for his purpose. He existed before anything was made, and now everything finds completion in him. Whoa, completion in him. He is the head of his body, which is the church. And since he is the beginning and the firstborn heir in resurrection, he is the most exalted one, holding first place in everything. For God is satisfied to have all of his fullness dwelling within Christ. And by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. That's the fullness of Christ, okay? When I say fully man, this is a man, a human being, fully indwelled, fully possessed by God. That's what Jesus was. That's who Jesus is. This is what we are in Christ now. We are to be sons and daughters. We are a new race. You are not just mere humans. Anytime Paul really rebuked somebody, he was like, you're acting like mere human beings, implying that that's not what you are. He's like, when you fight, when you argue, when you do things like that, you are acting like humans. You're not humans anymore. Not at least the humans that you were familiar with, not the fallen human beings, not like Adam. You are humans like Jesus. You are supernatural beings now. Ephesians talks about how Jesus, literally within his own flesh, Ephesians 2:15, that he created a new race of humanity within himself. A new race of humanity. We quote that scripture like when, you know, we get into debates about, you know, somebody says something about on Facebook about being black or being white or being this, and somebody throws a scripture out like, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. And it's like, what are you even talking about, man? Like, he wrote that to tell you, you are children of God. You are higher than that. Like, you're reducing that promise to that? Paul is literally like, you should have no quarrels. And people are like, well, that's not true. Like, that's not possible. Yes, it is. Paul says it is better for you. Wouldn't you rather be wronged? That's what he says. Wouldn't you rather be wronged in church? I know this. I know Jesus didn't take offense to anybody. I know Jesus was on the cross and was like, you know what, God, these guys have beat me. They have spit on me. Peter just denied me 3 times, cut off somebody's ear, so I had to heal somebody who was about to come and take me and kill me. I'm really annoyed at their lack of faith. The Pharisees are super annoying to me. You know what? Change my mind. Let's just keep the bulls and goats thing going. Now, Jesus said what? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. His last words, some of his last words were him fighting for us on the cross. Why is it so important that Jesus came as a man? Why does he identify as the Son of Man? Why did he put off, you know, every right he had to be God, to do what God can do? Why did he do those things? Why did he choose to be baptized, right? What does John say? John looks at him when Jesus goes to be baptized, and he says, I should be baptized by you. And Jesus says, no, we have to do this so I can fulfill all righteousness. Jesus is like, I have to do everything that human beings have to do, and I'll do it perfectly, so that when I indwell in them, they have fully fulfilled every regulation of holiness and righteousness. Jesus had to come as a man because, and this is the nature of God, if God does it once, he is willing and able and wanting to do it again. That is who he is. That's his nature. If God has done it once, he is willing and able to do it again. So what God did in Christ, through Christ, by faith, if we believe in Jesus, he can do again in your life. He can heal the sick. He can raise the dead. You can have fellowship with God forever. Jesus was able to, in 3 years, not traveling more than 200 miles away from his home with 12 people, change the whole world. You imagine if we could just get like 1,000 people walking and believing that they are just like Jesus, what would happen on the earth? And that's not to say there aren't those people out there. Like, you guys are those people. I'm those people. I'm just saying, could you imagine if we really grabbed this thing and went after this thing? Custer would be saved in a day. And it wouldn't take convincing. People would be like terrified at the glory of God and what was happening. You see arms growing out. You see dead people getting up and walking. In a town of 2,000 people, people know when people pass away. So-and-so passed away last Thursday. I know. He showed up to bowling league. Nobody's going to debate that. So did you really die? Yeah. It's a holy terror. It's a fear of the Lord. It's an awe of God. That's what God is longing. Like, it's, we say, like, the awe, like, the fear of God is a holy reverence. It is. But I'm starting to understand it is a tangible, it's like a cloud that rests over a community and over a people. It is a presence. Nobody is in unbelief. No one. Everyone's on the same page. Jesus is real. God is real. We are the children of God. Everyone's on the same page. You know, when David was the king, there's accounts of David who would say things like, let me teach you the fear of the Lord. Come, children, I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. There are accounts where there was times where no one was sick among them because one man was teaching a nation who they were, the fear of the Lord. And David pulled on something in the Old Testament that was thousands of years ahead of his time. And how much how much more access do we have now? So again, God's intention was to do what he has always wanted to do, what he told Adam in the garden. Go and be fruitful and multiply yourself. Subdue it. It's the same thing Jesus did. What did he say to Jesus? Jesus, go and be fruitful and multiply yourself. Subdue the earth. God didn't change his mind. When God's going to give out a commandment, the first thing out of his mouth is probably pretty important. And he's like, go, multiply yourself. I don't think he changed his mind. I think that's still the plan. Go and multiply yourself, Jesus. Go, make more like yourself, Jesus. Everybody turn to Revelation 19, verse 10. This is so good, man. I was like, whoa, I did not know that's what that meant. I love that. All right, so Revelation 19, 10. This is what it says. At this I fell face down at the angel's feet to worship him. But he stopped me and said, don't do this, for I am only a fellow servant with you and one of your brothers and sisters. Cling to what Jesus testifies. Worship God. And then this right here sums it up. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus, it literally says, is the essence of prophecy. That means when you look at Jesus' life and believe in him, it literally releases the power of the prophetic to see the life of Jesus recreated within you. That the testimony of Jesus, that his very life is the essence of prophecy. That his life was intended to be recreated over and over and over again by faith as you believe and recount it. That's why Jesus says, eat this bread, drink this wine, don't forget me, remember me, meditate on the things that I've done. Because he says, as you remember the testimony of my life, I'll recreate myself within you. Which is the intention of God. Heaven is going to be awesome. Heaven is a big part of the kingdom. It's a big part of the gospel. But the main point is not a getaway card because the world's going to hell and we need a card. We got to get out of here and get to heaven. The main point of the gospel is to recreate you, to get heaven back inside you, to make you like Jesus and to see you go forth in the earth and do what Jesus did. We have the answers for every single problem in this world. We have the answers. Papa Z joked about climate control. I don't even know. You know, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's happening. Maybe it's not. I'll be here either way. But what I do know is Jesus showed up and he made the elements of the earth submit to him. So if there is a problem, that means there is literally sons and daughters of God that can correct the issues of the world by speaking them in authority. People will say, well, that's Jesus. He's God. Yes, he is, but he is a man. He was a man. He died as a man. The blood of a man is on the mercy seat. He is the Son of Man. He comes and he dwells inside us. So when we say Emmanuel, we do not say God with us. We say God who became like us, who is now within us. If Jesus was content with just being God with you, if that was the main point, is for him to walk with you until you get to heaven, why in the world would he have said to his disciples, it's better for me if I leave? Or better for you if I leave. Because if I leave, I'll send the Spirit of God to you to indwell in you like he indwells in me. That was the point. Jesus now had the right to go up and to send the Holy Spirit back into humanity. that there would be no more separation between God and man, that they would be fully reconciled, that they would be one, that within his flesh he would destroy the dividing wall of hostility. God does not just want to be a part of your life. He wants to be your life. Emmanuel should not be reduced to a Christmas story. Emmanuel is the main point. That angel could have called him anything. He could have prophesied after 400 years, I think is a pretty important sentence. And he says, Emmanuel, God who became man. We are not subject to the elemental spiritual forces of this world. We are not subject to sickness. We are not subject to death. We are not subject to fear. We are not subject to demons. We are not subject to principalities, to authorities. The only thing we are subject to is God, and he's for us. We are meant to be like him. This is what I'm after. This is what I've given my life to. You know, people are like, eternal life. I want eternal life. What does the Bible say? What is the biblical definition of eternal life? The biblical definition of eternal life is not heaven. That's not what's said. The biblical definition of eternal life is in John. It literally, the scripture says, eternal life is this, to know God and experience him fully. That word experience literally means, it's the Greek word is yada. Yada means to fully experience. Literally, it's the closest union. It's like a man and a wife fully experiencing each other, becoming one flesh. That is eternal life. Eternal life is you becoming one with your Creator, one with life. Jesus says, I am the life. I am the truth. The truth. What is the truth? It is the real reality. Not the reality we see, not the reality a lot of the world lives in. It is the true reality. When Jesus comes into your life, what does he reveal about you? The truth of who you are. Don't reduce truth to like he exposes all the darkness. No, 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 no. He disperses and he dismantles all the darkness. He puts it to death, and then he exposes within you the truth of who you are as a son and daughter of God. That's what he does. That is, he says, I'm the truth. I come, and when I come inside you, I reveal who you really are, who you were really created to be. When he says, I'm the life, he says, I come inside you, and I reveal to you that death is a curse and you're no longer subject to it. That you are now one with eternal life. That you are not cut off from your Creator. That you are not in darkness and without hope. That you are now one with the eternal God. And you'll never die. That's why when people pass away, it's tough for us. Because we don't, you know, the Bible says that God put eternity in the hearts of man. So it just doesn't sit well with anyone. You know, nobody's like, death, that's awesome. Everyone looks at death and they're like, ugh, that just feels wrong. Because it's part of the curse. It's not God. Jesus calls it the last opponent. That death is an opponent. So how many of us believe that we are the sons and daughters of God? You know, how many of us in this room today are like a message like this it makes you kind of shifty and feel weird. Because you're like, I feel like David is reducing Jesus and taking something away from him and putting it down here. Jesus took something away from himself and came down here on purpose. So that he could look at you and say, we're brothers and sisters now. There is only one Savior of the world. You are not the Savior of the world. I am not the Savior of the world. That's Jesus. There is only one throne of David. There is only one King of Kings. But isn't that funny that he calls himself the King of Kings? Who you think the kings are? We are the kings. We are the queens. And we will be so in awe of him on that day that we will throw our crowns at his feet. I'm going to share something with you guys I don't typically share. It's a like super, super, I just treasure it. I treasure encounters with the Lord. I treasure going into trances. I treasure that stuff because you're experiencing God. And he's becoming something to you. I've gone into two trances in my life. The first trance I went into, I had no clue what in the world was happening. I was in a rehab. Nobody was talking about this stuff. I had just been baptized in my spirit, or in the spirit. I was praying in the spirit for like a week straight. I was just walking around, better this shiata maki. I'm just cooking, better this shiata. I'm just gonna pray all the time. And so like a week went by, and then I was like, Lord, I'm gonna listen to you tonight, and I'm not gonna say anything. I'm just gonna listen to you speak. And like 15 minutes went by, and I realized, came to myself and was like, oh, I'm praying in tongues. And I was like, dang it. I wanted to just sit here and be quiet, God. And I felt like he was like, keep going. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep going. So I just kept praying in the spirit. And then all of a sudden, just boom, full-blown trance. There was like 15 people in the room. Everybody was freaked out. I don't even know what I was doing. I was on the floor, and I was just crying. And I was encountering God. Like, he was becoming more than just like a story to me. I'll never forget it. I heard a voice speak to me. It felt like 3 minutes, okay? It was an hour and 20 minutes. It felt like 3 minutes. A voice spoke to me and said to me, before I tell you this, how many of you know that when God has done something once, he wants to do it again? So I'm telling you about this trance right now. If you want to encounter God, if you want to experience him like you haven't experienced him before, then you take this in faith and ask him to do it again. And then you tell me about what he showed you. I remember this voice, and I heard this voice. I'll never forget it. And it said, behold, the Almighty is here. And I just started yelling it. And I was just like, what is happening? And I couldn't look up. I could not look up. I don't know where I was, but I couldn't look up. I sat, I was on the ground, and I was weeping. And all I could see was a throne and the train of a robe and feet. And I was just sobbing. He wasn't saying anything to me. I was just undone at the presence of God. And I just heard that voice again. Behold, the Almighty is here. He starts showing me, like the Lord doesn't speak anything to me. When you're in the spirit, like you don't have to say sentences. Nothing is hidden. So you just know. The Lord just starts showing me all this stuff about entitlement and things like that. And I'm like, it's like overload. Just like, and then it stops. And then all of a sudden, I will never forget it. And I do not share this stuff often, but I felt like I was supposed to, so whatever. All of a sudden, the mood changes, and I'm on the ground still, and I see this white robe and these feet and these arms, and they just walk down like this, and all I can see is like right here. And I just see these scars. And I'm like, oh, it's Jesus. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Jesus. And he says to me, like he's just got his hands out like this. And he just says to me, David, who saved you? And I'm just sobbing. And I'm like, you. You did, Jesus. And that's all I can say. And then he says, wasn't it enough? And I'm like, yes. Yes, it was enough, God. And I'm just, please forgive us, God. Forgive us for feeling like you owe us anything. Like you coming wasn't enough. Like you owe us full bank accounts. Or you owe us good meals. Or you owe us whatever. Like forgive us, God. Forgive me. And Jesus isn't against those things. They just don't matter when you see him. You realize he's the prize. And so that happens. He leaves. I'm a mess again. And then all of a sudden, so funny, so crazy. All of a sudden, the whole thing shifts. The whole app, like mood, like I open vision, boom. And all of a sudden, I see thousands of people dressed in sackcloth, throwing ashes up in the air. And this is like before I read like Lamentations and stuff. So I had no clue what was going on. I see ashes thrown up in the air, people weeping, people worshiping. And I look at myself and I'm in sackcloth and I'm throwing ash up in the air. And all of a sudden my prayer language, I feel my tongue, literally feels like my tongue just rolls different. Something like happens to my throat and my prayer language completely changes in a moment. And I just start weeping and crying. And I'm having this open vision. And I'm having this open vision and all of a sudden, I realize, oh my gosh, I think I'm speaking Hebrew. I was like, I'm speaking Hebrew right now. It's like, because your brain's still like active, right? So I'm like, dude, but my spirit's like, ooh, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And so then I get this crazy open vision. I won't go into the details about that or what he actually showed me. But it was like this worship moment and I hear the Lord, Father God. I hear him speak one sentence, maybe two. I don't know the grammatical. There might have been a comma in there. But he says to me, this is how my people worshiped me on my holy hill. And I just start sobbing. And then he goes, and they will worship me again. And the vision ends. And I come to, and I'm like turned inside out. And I just come back into the room, and people are just like, this guy runs up to me and he's like, man, he's like crying. He's like, man, I don't know what just happened to you. He was like, but I delivered my sons and it was the most beautiful moment of my life until I saw that. And he didn't even have the encounter, just the presence of God there wrecked him. And so the next day I'm like, I go home and I'm like, or I walk up to my room because, you know, I'm in rehab. So I like walk up the stairs. I'm like, twitching and stuff. I no clue what's going on with me. My teeth are chattering. I'm like, oh, I don't know what happened. And the next day, this kid walks up to me. He's a brilliant kid. Grew up in a Christian home, missions, the whole thing. Walks up to me, goes, man, David, that was crazy. I said, what do you mean? He goes, last night, I had no clue that you could speak Hebrew. I went, I said, I can't. He goes, you were last night. I said, what was I saying? He said, you were calling God names that only the Hebrew people call him, like back in ancient times. And I'm like, oh, I was. Oh my gosh, I was. You know what I mean? And like for me, it just, I was like, that was real. Like, dude, that was crazy. Like, and I just, it just messed me up. So that was one trance. What time are we done? Every time. Is it 11:15 or is it 11? What time is it? It's 11:02. Okay. So I'm gonna share one more trance with me. I've only got two, so. All right. So it was 7 years from the time I had my first trance to the time I had my second trance, almost to the day. 7 years. Benny Hinn was going to preach at Bethel at school. And everybody's like, oh, Benny Hinn. You know, some people are like, Benny Hinn is amazing. And other people are like, Benny Hinn is a charlatan. And I'm like, man, I don't even know Benny Hinn. Like, all I know is that guy will throw his jacket at you. Like, the guy on the keyboards better have had coffee because he better be as alert as he's ever been. Because he'll be like, up, down, Charlie, go up a key. And it's like, Charlie's off the piano. Like, there's no more keys. And so I was sitting there and I was like, all right, Lord, do you want me to go? I was like, God, do you want me to go to Benny Hinn? He was like, yeah, David, go. So I'm like, he goes, I have something for you there. I'm like, ooh, Benny Hinn's about to call me out. I was like, this is the moment. Ooh, Benny Hinn's about to call me out. And like a week goes by, I'm just quiet, like, Benny's going to call me out. I'm going to sit down, he's going to look at me and be like, David. I'm going to be like, Benny. The day before Benny shows up, I'm upstairs, I'm praying, I'm on my knees. And the presence of Jesus just whoosh, like a wave into my room, and says to me, David, don't you ever chase the anointing. I am the anointed one. And I'm like, Benny's not calling me out. I was like, oh, snap, right? So I'm like, okay, God, you got something for me. I don't know what. I have no expectations. I go to church. I go there. There's like thousands of people in there. Just the atmosphere is literally electric with faith, expectation. It's just crazy. The angels, it's serious. I'm like, okay, game time. So I go, I sit down in my seat, and all of a sudden I'm like freezing cold, and my teeth start to chatter. And I'm like, what is going on here? Benny's not in the room yet. I'm like, what's going on here? Then I start feeling like, I feel like my spirit, like I'm fine, but I feel my spirit just going, woo, 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 woo. Like I can hear it. Woo, woo. And I'm like, oh no. Oh no, oh no, oh no. You know, like I've crossed a point with the Lord. Something bad is about to happen. Like the fear of the Lord is gripping me. I'm like, oh geez. And don't laugh, okay? Because if you've ever experienced the fear of the Lord, all logic goes out the window, okay? Like, I have had times where I've experienced the fear of the Lord, and I've been like, I can't talk, and I'm like, caw, 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 and then I remember I can think. Like, you just, you know, I'm like trying to tell God to stop, and then I'm like, wait a second, he just hears me. So I'm like, God, please stop in my head. And it stops. I'm like, oh yeah. And then 5 minutes later, I do the same thing. So, like, logic goes out the window. And so, anyways, worship starts. I'm in the back. I'm like, this is crazy. This crazy girl, Cameron's her name. Every time she touched me, it was a mess. She walks up to me. She looks at me. She's like, look in my eyes. She goes, you're going to go into a trance today. I said, yes, ma'am. I am. I'm like, she left. Okay. Thank God. The weird girl left. Thank God. You know? Cameron, she's awesome. But anyways, so I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm in the back and worship's going on. And I look up in the civic auditorium and rainbows are shooting through the sky. I'm like, I'm sitting next to my homegirl, Viv. I said, Viv, I see rainbows. I tell her, and she just starts shaking. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's happening? You know what I mean? And I'm like, okay, the rainbows is fair enough. I don't know what to do right now. I'm just going to pray in tongues. When you don't know, just pray in tongues. If it freaks you out, just pray in tongues. Okay? So I'm like, I'm praying in tongues. Oh, the rainbows. You know what I mean? And so the rainbows happen. And then I look up again, and I see, how many of you guys have seen like a supernova explode? Okay, like just on the internet, not like in person. You guys are like, no, I don't think I've seen that. Like, me neither, just on the interwebs. And so I look up, and I see this, like, it looked like pink lemonade, and it just went, and it just opened like a rip. Open in space, and I'm like, and I look at Viv, and I go, I see heaven opened up. She's again, you know, and I'm like, oh, Viv, you know what I mean? And so I'm looking, I'm like, oh my gosh, she sees heaven. I mean, I'm like, I see heaven opened up, right? And so I'm like praying in tongues again because I'm getting nervous. I'm like, I don't know what's happening right now. And then all of a sudden, I start hearing with my ears, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And I'm like, that's not in this room. And I'm like, oh no. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And it's getting louder and louder. And I turn to Viv, poor Viv. I'm like, Viv, I hear the angels singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. She falls down, boom, I'm in a trance. I'm in heaven. I'm like, the first thing I see there, it's a side profile. I see Jesus sitting on the throne. And I just look at him like, and I see legions of angels just crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Then I see Jesus, so it's a side profile, so I'm looking at him like this. He's sitting. I see him stand up, and as he stands up, he points like this, out. He points, and he starts saying something, but I can't hear what he's saying. And tears just start streaming down his face. And I follow his hand, so I'm like, what is he pointing at? And I look, and the earth is just suspended in space, and he's pointing at it with tears in his eyes. And I hear a voice say to me, he intercedes for the saints day and night. And I'm like, and I drop to my knees in the vision, and I have never in my life cried like this at the beauty and awe of something that I saw. I was like, because you fully absorb the moment all at once. And I looked and I was like, all of heaven is worshiping Jesus, and he's not even paying attention to it. He's still focused on the earth and interceding for us, for the lost sons and daughters. And I hear a voice say to me, I have filled you with my cries for the lost. And I'm like, like just lost, undone. And I'm just like, I'm on my knees, like literally just like this, like just reduced to nothing. Like I can't move. I'm just crying like, like I can't even do it. I can't even cry like I was crying. Then the scene changes. And I'm in this smoky, hazy, like glory of a room. And I see one throne right here. I see 2, 4, 6. And I know that the thrones wrap around me. And I'm like, oh man, I'm in the throne room, right? And I'm like, oh boy, here we go. So I look and I see this, man come forward, and he walks toward me, and he's got this beautiful, like, it's like dark brown, but like strawberry, like blonde, like red hair, and this beard, the same thing, and it's just like drenched in oil. And he's got this crown, and he's wearing this like blue and green and orange tunic, like silk. And he walks up to me, and I look at him, and I'm like, I'm like, David. I'm like, oh my gosh, King David. Oh my gosh, right? This is what I'm like full-blown fangirling. I'm like, David, you're my guy. I'm named after you. But I didn't say that. I'm just like, oh my gosh, David. And he walks up to me, and he pulls this pen out. And it's like this big and like that thick, and it's golden. And he hands it to me. And when he hands it to me, no. He holds it right here, and he goes, I bless you with my pen. And he hands it to me. And when he puts it in my arms, it's so heavy, I drop to my knees, and I cry the same way I did when I saw Jesus. That scene changes. Then I'm on the ground. I'm on my knees. And then all of a sudden, I see one throne on the right, one throne on the left. They stand up at the exact same time. And I know immediately one is Peter and one is Paul. And they point one with the right hand and one with the left hand directly at me. And they say simultaneously, we charge you and mark you with preaching the gospel. I fall to my knees again, cry the same way. I'm like, this is nuts. This is nuts. I'm like, I got to go read my Bible. I don't even know if this is okay. I don't know what's happening to me. Is this a demon? Like, I don't know what's going on right now. So I'm like fishy. I'm like, something's fishy right now. Like, I'm in awe, but I'm like, something's fishy. And so that happens. Then I see this other, I turn to the left, and I see this man coming toward me on another throne. And he walks toward me. And I look at him, and I have never heard this man called this in my life. I didn't know that theologians called him this. I had no clue that this was his name. And I hear the words, John the Beloved. John the Beloved. And he walks up to me and he puts his hand on my forehead like this and he pushes my head back like that and I feel a chest behind my head. And immediately I think of John reclining on the chest of Jesus. And he just holds my head against the chest of Jesus and he goes, I bless you with the assurance of the love of Jesus. And I'm like, oh, I can't move, like, oh, just sandwiched. Again, this was like, it felt like 3 minutes. It was like an hour and a half. And then the next one, I see this man, older looking man, but just not old, just older looking. And he walks up to me. Actually, he is old, but old in heaven is, there's no decay. You're still as strong. Like you see the glory of age. And so he walks to me, and I'm like, who's this Jedi-looking guy right now? And he walks up to me, and I hear the words Elijah. And I'm like, immediately I go, nope, this is false. I know too many people who think they're Elijah. Like, nope. This is wrong. I start saying this in the vision. Nope. 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 Wrong. Ha ha. And he literally takes his robe off and he's holding it. And I go, I'm not taking it in the vision. I'm not taking it. I hear a voice from heaven say, David, you are not John the Baptist. Or you are not Elijah. I'm like, okay, that's good. And then he puts his cloak around me and he goes, I bless you with my walk in the spirit. And he puts a cloak around me and he's the only one I responded to like this. I said, then you have to show me how to walk in the spirit. Immediately I go back into the civic auditorium, but I can hear like I'm still there. And he goes, stand up. I stand up. The only way I can describe it is I could have navigated a landmine field in Vietnam in the dark backwards. By his voice. That's how clearly I could hear his voice and be led by the Spirit. And he says, stand up. I stand up. He says, that girl. I said, that girl. He says, go put your hands on her. I put my hands on her. Boom. She goes into a full-blown encounter. He does it with a few more people. Then he goes, just like that. Go sit down. I sit back down. Boom. I'm back up in heaven or wherever. Heaven. I'm back in the trance. But the scene had changed again, and this is the last thing I'll say. And it was a stairwell. It was a white stairwell. I don't know what it was made of. It was gorgeous. And there is an altar on it, not placed on it, an altar coming out from it. I look at myself. I have no shirt on. I'm wearing some pants that are folded in on themselves. I had abs. Well, I'm dead serious. I was like, okay. Just wanted to make sure. I had some abs. I look, and I see Jesus again. And he's looking straight at me. And I'm looking up at him. And he says to me, oh, I said to him, like, as I'm standing before him, all these accusations and thoughts in every moment that I had failed come up. And I'm like, God, this is wrong. You've chosen the wrong person. I'm not worthy of this. This is wrong. Like, we're unworthy. And I'm like, this is big case. Like, I'm stating my case to the judge. Like, condemning myself. Like, accusing myself. And I'm like, I start telling him, like, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if I do this? What if this? What if this? And I literally, it was the craziest thing. He didn't even respond. He just, like, smiled at me. And then he was holding this thing in his hands. It looked like, you guys ever seen, like, a stamp? Like, one of those stamps that you can melt and then you seal? I think they're called a seal, actually. But, like, he's holding one of those. It's solid gold, and it's, like, as big as my torso. And he's holding it in his hands. And he says to me, I hear the scripture, actually, I will place my Holy Spirit on you like a seal. And I'm like, and he's like, I will protect you from all those things. all your failure and all your worry that you're not going to do good enough, like, I put my Holy Spirit in you so that will never happen. And so he holds this seal and he shouts out in a loud voice, who will accept the seal? And I was like, I will, Lord. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just said that. You know what I mean? And so somehow I just knew what I was supposed to do. So I like walk up to the altar. Hello, angels. Hello, Paul. Hello, everybody. Jesus. And I lay down on this altar. And he holds this thing and he just goes, boom, and he pushes it from here to here. And he's just pressing it. And I remember thinking, I was like, oh, this isn't too bad. I was like, I can handle this. And then he presses it a little bit harder, and I was like, ooh, that kind of tickles, you know. Then he pressed it a little bit more, and I'm like, okay, like, I don't know how much more. Then he presses it more, and then the full-blown panic starts to set in, like I told you about. I'm like, I'm going to die. Like, I'm like, this is it for me. I'm dead. And then he pushes it again. I'm like, oh, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Presses it more, and I'm like, ah. And then he starts pressing it so hard that in my physical body, I cannot breathe. The veins in my neck are sticking out. I try and jerk myself out of the encounter and open my eyes. Lo and behold, my body's in the same exact position in the Civic Center, and I can't breathe. So I'm like, oh, can't escape it. Going to die. And so I go back to it, and I'm literally like, I can feel my back like, crack, and I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, Jesus, you don't know your own strength. And he literally, like, as I feel like I'm about to die, he lifts it, and I gasp for breath. The encounter's over. I come back into the room. I'm back in the room, and then Benny Hinn walks in. And I hear a voice from heaven say to me, I did that to you before Benny came into the room, so you never thought it was because of a man. All that to say, God is so real. If you want to encounter and experience God, all you do is ask him and be open to him. There's no formula. I have no formula for trances and encounters and the crazy stuff. All I know is my prayer for 10 years has been, God, I just want to know you. That's it. I have no agenda. My heart, I want to see healings. I want to see miracles. I want to see revival. I want to see those things. But above those things, my heart is, God, I just want to know you. I want to know the truth about you. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see the God I read about in here. You didn't change. You didn't just leave when you sent Jesus. You didn't just say, okay, I did crazy things in the Old Testament. God bless. See you later. Like, I want to see a God who has, in however many a thousand pages, has literally wrote a story about how he would die to know us. I want to know that God. I want to know him, not just beside me, but inside me. With every single breath I take, I want to be fully consumed by God. That is my heart cry. That is my prayer for this church. When I moved here, when I moved to this place, the words I got from prophets were that will be known as the hungriest region on earth for God. I am so hungry for God. I obsess about him. I think about him all day long. I'm constantly trying to hear him. I'm constantly looking for him. I'm constantly trying to see him. He's my everything. When I have said he is better than life, I meant it. He is better than life, and that's how he feels about us. He obsesses over us. Nobody knows how many hairs are on their own head, but he does. And you think he's upset because you haven't done good following him? Come on now. All right. Well, I'm done. I am going to stop myself. So, I bless you with encounters, and I am excited to hear about them. Bless myself with encounters. I want some more. Jesus, I love you. We love you. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who reveals himself as Emmanuel, the God with us. Lord, I ask for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you better. That's what we want the spirit of wisdom and revelation for, to know you better. And right now, Jesus, I just ask right now for trances, for heavenly visitations, for crazy manifestations, that people would get to see you face to face, Jesus, that they would be forever marked. I just release a season of marking encounters, God, of face-to-face love encounters with you, Jesus. Because when we see your face, God, we are never the same. We are never the same. So I love you. We love you. Thank you for being Emmanuel, for being the God within us, for being the God who came and found us, for being the God who wants to encounter us, for being the God who wants us to encounter him. You are not absentee. You are not distant. Lord, we cross from darkness to light on the shoulder blades of Jesus. Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you for being our Redeemer. Give us a revelation of who we have been redeemed to and what we are now, God. We just honor you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, guys. There's a lot of tears. We're all over the place. Definitely went over. That's okay. Okay, if anyone needs prayer, please feel free.